Mini episode 1714 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1714. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. Coming at you today with one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, FDH Hoops analyst Ben Chu. But he has been here for things other than hoops over the years, primarily of which a mini-series that we've done on the show on the streaming industry, since he and I are both endlessly fascinated by it. And there are some very, very big developments happening. One that we know for sure, one that we're seeing the beginning stages of, but we don't have much in the way of details. And one large reaction to that, which is not official, but does seem to be in the making. And, of course, the first one that we'll get to, of course, is what we know for sure is going to happen, because under cover of darkness, they ended up putting this deal together. The ESPN entities, Fox and the Fox Sports entities, and the Warner Brothers media entities, which are to include, most importantly of all, TBS and TNT, the commonality of which being sports from all of these entities together on one package. And for as much as we've always been waiting for, well, you know, when is the era of a la carte going to come and this kind of stuff, ESPN's going to go a la carte in 2025, but I'm not sure anybody's going to care, because this whole thing here, the future, it turns out all along, was the skinny bundle, but a sports-oriented skinny bundle. We've never seen one like this before. And again, Ben Chu, this is one of these weird things where, like, the future is actually, like, what we were seeing maybe, what, 10, 12 years ago, except that it's built almost exclusively around sports, or a sports focus, anyways.
Right, and Rick, it's something that we've noted is what's currently propping the current cable system up, which is live sports.
Yes.
And we saw a little bit of it with Max earlier this year when doing the Bleacher Report add-on, where you're allowed to watch games from the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and college basketball, and U.S. men's and women's soccer on the Max app. So we saw, like, this, like, and we've also seen, like, in the past, too, Hulu with ESPN Plus has had some NHL games and some golf on their channel. So, but this is the first real instance that we've seen where, and I think in recent memory, too, where three media conglomerates have all decided to come together to put together this sort of streaming sports package, which will have all the entities from the ESPN family, including ABC, Fox, including Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, and then the Warner Brothers Discovery team, which essentially is Turner Sports with TNT, TBS, and True TV. So it's going to be very interesting. I know we've discussed that it's coming to be known, possibly known as Hulu Sports. So it's going to be really kind of intriguing to see what happens and see if where the price point is going to be for this additional bundle that we might see in the near future.
Well, and one of the things I think that's the biggest surprise about this, Ben, is it's just something that we are not used to seeing in our system of business, at least in America. Now, I know overseas, sometimes in different markets, there have been partnerships between Disney and Fox. I mean, you hear about this, that overseas that's been the case. But it's one of those things where, as much as we hear the phrase, you know, said sometimes in different places, well, you can't be half pregnant. Well, here you kind of can, I guess, because they're not merging. It's not a merger of the three companies, which would be an ultra mega conglomerate. It's like they're going to be partners on this platform. They're certainly going to be stakeholders in each other's success, but they're not going to be under a common bunch of shareholders or anything like that. They're going to remain three different entities. There's going to be one CEO that is set up to run this new platform. And it's going to have to be somebody where all three companies are going to have to be convinced that he's not going to favor one service over the other two with different directions here. So it's going to be really, really interesting because at least domestically, Ben, I mean, I can't think of anything. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in America previously in the world of business.
Yeah, and outside of like some of the like major partnership deals done in previous, and in like maybe the food industry, or if we're talking in terms of, you know, maybe more tech, we've seen stuff like that happen, but we've never, it's pretty rare to see, especially within entertainment.
Yeah.
Multiple companies essentially homogenize together to put all their content together. I mean, the most notable like quote from anyone about this was Disney CEO Bob Iger, who said he'd rather be a disruptor than be disrupted. So it's a way, I think, for these companies to gain more financial advantages and open up live sports for more people. But also at the same point too, we have to discuss that this could also put a lot of pressure on some of the bigger tech powerhouses like Amazon and Google, who has YouTube TV at the current period of time. So there's so many little machinations, but just like for the initial thought process, this is a win for sports fans who want to get live sports and get a wide swath of live sports from the NBA, baseball, the NHL, the NFL, Formula One, some football as well in there too, Central European soccer. So there's a little bit of everything for everyone within the bundle. College football is also going to be a big part of that bundle as well too. So
right.
And there's just a lot of things. It's just we kind of, it's so shocking because I think I remember reading the report that first came from, like, I believe it was CNBC of all places. It was very striking that something would this happen, because I think most of us just sort of teetered off the scenario that this would never happen, or more along the lines that we would see like a partnership between one or two of them. We know there was a timeline where Warner Brothers was talking to Paramount about possible acquisition at one point.
Yes.
So it's going to be very, so it's very interesting to see how this plays out, but it makes a lot of sense for a lot of these entities. And again, I don't know how this impacts sports rights in terms of the NBA is probably the most notable entity coming up for bids. So we don't know how that's going to impact individual platforms bidding for the NBA, but it's definitely something we'll have to take note of.
Well, I know the sports leagues are already a little bit concerned about collusion because, again, the fact that each of these entities is at least a stakeholder in the other ones here, as long as it's on the overall platform, now it's at a point where it's not exactly an unmitigated minus not to have something, as long as one of your partners on this platform has it. And that's where, again, this is one of these things of like, we've seen entities come together in entertainment over a period of time, but it's always like, we've got something you don't have, and vice versa, of where they're trying to fill holes in there. These are competitors in the same sphere. They're all bidders after the same sports rights. And that's the whole thing of like, if there wasn't going to be this mega merger between all the different entities, which in its own way is super improbable, this type of thing seemed equally improbable because getting each of these ventures to where they could be invested in the success not merely of themselves but two other entities is really quite incredible to think about, even after we've had a few weeks to ponder it right now. And it just makes you think about all the different dividing lines out there, the coming together of some of these different entities. I know that ESPN, they said at one point it sounded like a pipe dream, and my guess is it was just a smokescreen while they worked on this behind the scenes, but like, we want to be a stepping off place to where somebody can click on our app or website or whatever and go watch something from anywhere. And even if it's not on our platform, and this is going to be the partial realization of that quote-unquote dream of theirs, but it's one of these things where, you know, again, you talked about between Warner Media and Paramount that they had been tight ever since the early 2010s on March Madness every year. Well, now that's going to be, once that March Madness deal expires, they're going to go their separate ways because we'll talk about Paramount in a second. It looks like they're making their own plans for the future here, but you're looking at what's going to be from now on a huddling together between the entities under this platform and maybe joint productions even sometimes across networks. So I don't see WarnerMedia wanting to take over the entire NCAA tournament bid, but splitting it with Fox or ESPN, sure, why not? And meanwhile, Paramount will pursue similar things with their alleged partnership, which may be coming up.
Right, and I think one of the bigger questions is that we saw a little inklings of this earlier in the season when ESPN and Turner combined for the in-season tournament.
Yes.
For the NBA. So we saw a little bit of that, but again, I think a lot of us just purported that to just be things that were there. It's just strikingly based off of all the power players of this game. This feels like a Bob Iger move to try and make something off. I don't think David Zaneb is really someone who really tremendously cared about live sports outside of maybe putting stuff on Max. And you know, Lachlan Murdoch is a very notable sports figure overseas, but I don't really think on its own there was really a huge push for them to get into the live streaming business. And this is definitely interesting to see, too, because we've noted, Greg, too, Fox does not have a paid streaming service at this period of time.
Nope. Like,
if we count Tubi, maybe, but that's more of like a delivery vehicle very similar to Paramount's Pluto TV. So it's not like it's not a paid platform. It's essentially just it's a UI system that delivers content with advertising on it.
Yes.
So it's very interesting to see this is Fox's first move. Could we see a scenario where they decide to put sort of a mini package together in the future? I can't rule that out. It would be very similar to see if, at some point down the line that we've alluded to that there's a scenario where Paramount and NBC, Peacock can team up together and do their own little bundle. But it's just going to, the question that ultimately is the big story around this is not necessarily also all them coming together. It's just, it feels like the story, at least for the on Wall Street level, is, well, the bundle itself doesn't hit everything. You're going to still have to find your way to watch some of it. Like, if you're a European football fan, you're probably going to have to go to Peacock and Paramount for the Premier League, the Champions League. You're going to miss some CBS NFL that's not going to be on this package. You're also going, if you really want to watch some Big Ten college basketball, you're probably going to have to go to Peacock as well to watch that. So the issue is that a lot of people there on Wall Street, the confusion is that, well, this doesn't encompass everything, but on the linear level, it encompasses a lot of stuff for the singular sports fan who, and I note this too, and we've discussed this within the genre of the boomer and the millennial and some Gen Z, I know Gen Z, at least based on the data, doesn't watch as much sports as much as the older generations. It does feel like this is the first real foray for these media platforms to put together a sports package and make a profit from it at this time.
It does. And this just shows that there will never be the complete unbundling that we have thought all along there was going to be at some point. You go back to the late 2000s with HBO and Showtime, and it was like, okay, well, ESPN was the one we were all waiting on. And we never could have known that when ESPN would announce they were doing it and really setting a date certain, 2025, that it would be anticlimactic, because how many people are going to go for ESPN on its own as opposed to this platform here where you're getting the other things in with it? And there will be the ability to bundle in other services with it. Ironically, Hulu was one of the ones mentioned. Max is one of the ones mentioned. So you're going to have the ability to do that. As you said, Tubi is a thing where it's a completely free service. I could see them potentially maybe paywalling some things on Tubi to where you have to have an FS1. You have to be a subscriber to get FS1, maybe. That could be something that they do. But basically, the Max thing, what I'm thinking is going to happen from there, because Max was potentially going to have its own potential, grow-out situations here. My guess would be, because if you're looking at a package like that, one of the things is, and I don't know how you exactly, because they don't have CNN FI the way that they used to. So for anybody looking for a financial channel, like any of the day traders I know, I don't know how easy it would be to put one of these ones on here. Although, just on any smart TV, you can get Cheddar News or anything like that that performs the same function and is a free channel. So there's already free financial channels out there to where you wouldn't necessarily need them.
Especially if we're talking about Max 2, Rick, they already also have CNN Live. live.
I was going to ask, that is that a thing there? Because I didn't know for sure.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Okay.
They do have CNN Live. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. If you get
or at least enough VOD on demand.
Okay, all right. That well,
but in most cases, they do have live news, and that is not an add-on to Max. That is something that's currently a part of Max. Now, that could change. That could also go there, but also
right.
Just in terms of Max just in general. I just want to note this. I don't think they're going – this feels like, at least from what I'm reading and the reports that I've been told, that it's going to be its own sort of singular service, and all these entities are still going to pursue their own interests. Like, Bleacher Report add-on to Max will still exist. ESPN
okay.
will still do a DTC sort of thing. So if those things are still going to exist. It's just this is going to just be another outlet.
Right.
At this period of time. Or at least, or maybe even depending on if it is Hulu Sports, another sort of little thing that you can add to your package.
I know they haven't filled in all details yet. I haven't seen if any of the ESPN Plus stuff is going to be a part of this as well. You would think so.
I believe that it was confirmed that it would be a part of this.
Okay.
And the question ultimately would be is in regards to the pay-per-views. I figured that would still be a separate cost, but...
Okay.
I'm assuming that's in there too. The ultimate thing to also note with this too is that just for anyone who isn't more well-versed in the subject, you will, for this bundle, still get the linear channels and the coverage. You would still be able to get your local ABC and Fox affiliates.
Okay.
And you would be able to still see other things, but also there are things that would not be part of you. Like, you wouldn't get Fox News or Fox Business News.
Right.
You wouldn't also get, I believe, some, like, Turner Classic Movie stuff would not qualify as a move over as well. So there are other entities that will not be a part of this deal.
Right.
That some people could get confused with and think that they are included as part of the deal because there are entities from the company themselves. But this is strictly linear channels that have sports programming on it.
Right. And that's where, again, you can tack on. They'll let you do it as part of a bigger bundle, Hulu, Disney Plus, Max. Again, if I'm going to editorialize here, as somebody who is a big advocate for what is on both Hulu and Max, I would highly recommend adding both of those to it. And on Max, when you're talking about Turner Classic Movies isn't a part of it, you're right. But if you have Max, you've got the entire Turner Classic Movies library there, so same difference. So there will be some things that will be incentives to tack on the streaming services with it here. And, you know, that, I think that is going to be something that you're going to see an awful lot of. Now, the reaction to this, potentially, and unconfirmed, but it's one of those things. Now, look, I thought the Warner and Paramount merger made too much sense not to happen, and it didn't happen, so what do I know? But this feels like it makes too much sense not to happen. The biggest broadcast entities who were left out of this, Comcast and Paramount, they are now talking with each other about Peacock and Paramount Plus. And this would be a thing that I would guess would be, again, very, very similar in scope. We are only speculating at this point in time because it's just rumors that they are talking to each other. I think there are some different well-sourced stories that have been out there on this. But right now, still in the rumor phase, it has been reported on by the Wall Street Journal, so there is some substance to it, I'm sure. But thoughts on that, Ben? That's a thing where, again, from a sports standpoint, it would be a lot weaker. That's where maybe they try to build it maybe more so around entertainment brands and some other things like that. But you're also sitting outside of a lot of entertainment brands as well when you don't have WBD and Disney as part of your deal.
Right. And one question that is going to be asked is there enough sports content for that other hypothetical deal?
Nope.
But one question that was also brought up too is that Paramount Plus was looked at as an acquisition target. So I could see a scenario where Comcast finds a way to merge Paramount Plus and Peacock because they both have, if we're being honest, Rick, the lowest subscriber counts of all the major platforms in streaming. So it would make sense on some level to homogenize their content together or find a way that they could do a partnership deal very similar to what we saw with Disney Plus and Hulu during, I believe that started in 2021. to where you could bundle both together at a cheaper cost and get both. So for the sports fan, I think there's specific needs and wants that could work there. But then again, the question ultimately to me, Rick, is going to be is that enough sports for a sports bundle? I don't think it is. I think I see scenarios more would be a homogenizing of content between both of those platforms. But again, I would be wrong to say that it couldn't happen, but I would just say it's a much weaker package because the only things you would receive would be NFL games on CBS, NFL game, the Sunday Night Football games, college football that NBC owns, like the Fighting Irish and some Big Ten stuff, and CBS also has coverage of UEFA Champions League too, so you'd get that as well. But that's, in my opinion, a strictly inferior package to what the combo of ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery has to offer at this time.
Yeah, and something tells me that CBS would have to start pumping up in its marketing. Hey, we also have the Pabst Blue Ribbon Bull Riding Series and Mountain West Football, you know, so that would be something they'd probably have to start bragging about.
And I think, too, I think that's, if I'm being honest, it's more of a discussion of a partnership. I don't think they can do a sports streaming app on their own. I don't think it makes logical sense for them
right.
to, but I do think there's a way for them to homogenize their content to get more money from subscribers.
I think so, too. And if you're looking at something like this that we're speculating on, here's what's kind of funny. So if you're going to drop, you know, maybe $49.99 for the aforementioned one, potentially Hulu Sports that we know is coming, and then let's say this other one's maybe like $34.99 or whatever, here's the funny thing. You know, you're going to have a lot of people where they want stuff that's on both platforms. So basically, by the time you pay for two skinny bundles, plus whatever tack on for an app that you may want to have beyond that, you might be looking at potentially, in some cases, even more than what you're paying right now. So, you know, the big guys always win, Ben.
Yeah. Well, and again, the question then is that he wants the skinny bundle price point, in my personal opinion, is what will either drive this people to subscribe or not. Because I'm an honest human when it comes to this. YouTube TV. I think it's a fantastic service. It's perfect, in my opinion. The only issue is the price right now, which is $72.99.
Yeah.
So there are enough people, I believe, because one of the speculations from Wall Street investors and just fans and then just commenters about the service is that why would anyone pay less to get less channels? But the question ultimately is that in terms of saving money, and if we're being honest, I like to use this rule, there's not a lot of overlap between people that watch sports and people that watch other things on YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And if there is a way that, you know, I don't have to, like, I'll use just a basic example. If I don't have to pay for Bravo and, you know, Comet TV for sci-fi or Sci-Fi Channel or Disney channels, if I don't have kids, there's a legitimate amount of people out there that will consider it. And one thing that you can also know is that the younger generation, even though there's data numbers that they do not watch as much sports as like Gen X and the boomers and all these other people, they've never really had an opportunity to pay for a small amount to watch sports. Like the most that they've always had to pay is usually either the cheapest thing to buy right now, just for any sort of level of live sports, would be Max plus the Bleacher Report add-on, but that's still around about a $34 to $35 narrative.
Right.
And if there's a way also to get linear channels along with it with ABC and Fox, which, if we're being honest, outside of CBS, they are two of the most popular linear channels on TV right now.
Right.
So if there's a way to acquire that for a period of time, that's too. And I know this too, and we've always discussed this. The economy has been sort of weirdly in flux. We're also in an election year. So I would make the argument I would have to believe that there's at least 5% of Americans, and just in general, that if they were given the option of a skinny bundle to save $30 and still keep the things they like, which is i.e. sports, I think most people would do it.
I think so. So, yeah, I think that there is going to be quite an audience for, again, at least the one we know about, the potential Hulu Sports. We will have to see what, again, stems up around that, that if the CBS and NBC coming together, if that ends up being something that is able to offset that in any kind of a way. Meanwhile, a couple other folks are going to have their hands in the air going, hey, remember us? Those being, again, among others, Amazon, Google with YouTube, since they have NFL Sunday Ticket, Apple TV Plus. So you have a few other entities here where you're still going to have their services to watch certain things, sports and otherwise, whether or not you have these other services.
Right, and I like to use this rule. Currently, the joke is that this is just cable plus at the end of the day. But to be honest, if you're a fan of a certain thing, if there's a way for you to go after it for cheaper, you're going to do it cheaper every time. I don't know if any people were like, yes, I would like to pay more money to get the things that I need to watch.
Right.
It just doesn't logically make any sense. One thing I do want to talk about that I don't think anyone else has even commented on is that there's going to be discussion about UI and user interface, because that's always been one of the big things with streaming that we don't really tend to talk about as much, but UI is going to be huge to this project, especially if they're using the existing platform of Hulu. That would make it easiest so that people aren't going in, because if, let's say hypothetically, Rick, this is a new built up from the ground platform. Well, if the UI is terrible, there's buffering issues, people will drop the platform for for YouTube TV easily then.
Right.
So user interface is going to probably, there's two major things that are going to be essentially determinant of this scenario, if this is successful or not. It's going to be price point and user interface. Those are the two.
Right.
And if it fails on either one of those, people will just stick with YouTube TV or essentially will just stick with YouTube TV or their cable provider then.
Right. I think that's
true. And
I'll
use this rule too, and I think it's a fair assessment. Because some people are like, well, it doesn't matter at all, Ben, you know. I'll use an analogy before YouTube TV came into the fold, there was something called PlayStation View, which was done by Sony. It was their own streaming cable service, and it was terrible at times because you would have issues with buffering.
Sure.
So buffering is going to be the big thing here. If the user interface is complicated or puzzling or you can't record something, that's the one advantage I would argue right now that YouTube TV has over their competition for cable.
Yes.
And those eyeballs. It has the best service, it has the best platform. And I think, Rick, and it's going to be a fair question, I'll put this out there. If the price point is $49.99, I would argue that's a too high price point, because if YouTube TV is only $72, I would rather not worry about saving that $23 a month to have a more stable service that is YouTube TV.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, too. But by the way, in none of these areas, as we've talked about, much like how Amazon, etc., will be outside the bounds of this, so too will be any of the regional sports networks. So it's one of those things where, again, to save that much amount of money but put at risk being able to watch my Cavs, yeah, not so much. So, you know, at $49.95, that would be something where I would not be interested in doing that because of the number of other things that I'd have to tack on top of that. If it's $39.95, $34.95, which I highly doubt, any of those things, maybe. But, yeah, it reaches a price point where the number of other things that are going to be necessary to have could basically price out the option of going with that.
Right. And I think for me, just in terms of a speculator, I would say $39.95, I think, is an optimal price point.
You would think so, yeah.
Because you get enough people that will quit YouTube TV, and you still get enough platform. And again, that can just be an introductory rate, Rick. That's fine.
Right.
If it goes from $39 to $45, I think a lot of people would be okay with it. If it's $49.95 off the bat, I think a lot of people will be turned off and it will not. It will be moderately successful at that point.
I would think so, yeah. So
it won't be the breaker. And I feel like, again, Wall Street's going to say it's a bigger number, but we said this before. It has to be the right number. And the right number, I feel like, for what you're acquiring is an introductory price point of $39.95 with the potential for it to go up to $44 or $45 after a calendar year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it'll get there. We're in an inflationary time, so
obviously, that's going to happen no matter what. But
yeah, I guess that's
again,
a good
price point is going to be one of the make or break things here. If it's too high, people will just stick with their existing cable platforms or YouTube TV at that pace.
You make a very good point. An introductory price of $39.95, that would be something right there. There's something about that of having it quote-unquote below $40, even though you'd have to be a real rube not to figure out tax and other things like that in there. But still, below $40, that feels like in today's day and age something that would be a grabber for people.
Right, and I feel also, too, we also have to know that if it is sort of encompassed in the UI of Hulu, that will also be beneficial to them, too.
It will.
Because if it isn't, then it's going to be even more, it's going to be a higher level of complication because then you're going to have to go through another app.
Right.
And if it's already in Hulu, if anyone who has Hulu, like, to get to live TV, if you have Hulu plus live TV, it's really easy to get to it in the menu, so.
Right.
I think that'll also matter, too, because if it's a separate thing, platform, then you also have to worry about the UI and the platform. And we saw with the rollout of HBO to HBO, HBO Max to Max, how big of an issue that was.
Yeah, and it's one of those
things. So there's a way for them to play into Hulu. It makes a lot more sense than to just go on an independent trail and create a whole new app.
It does. And to my point about $39.95, I feel it's not the same as $49.95 because, like, people would be like, I know I'm exaggerating wildly, but it might as well be $50 they're asking for from me versus if it was $39.95, my gosh, that's not even $40. So it just feels right. Like there's a psychological barrier there versus speaking of psychological barriers, the thing that, as I said to you off air, makes the most sense about Hulu Sports is Hulu. And again, it's mostly me and you guys like us that are really in the weeds, that really understand these things. But Hulu started as a coming together of different networks. And Fox was a part of that at one point. And NBC, if I remember correctly, I think you could see The Office on it back in the day when it was going back then, back when it was in first run. And, or I should say, not to date this mini episode here, the first time it was in first run, in case we get a revival of it here at some point. But anyways, you've got a situation where if you named it after ESPN or Disney, if you named it after Fox, if you named it after anything WBD, you'd be favoring one of the three services. I mean, essentially, the only alternative to Hulu Sports that makes sense is if it was to be Disney plus Max plus Fox, and I think that's too long of a name.
Yeah, it's too long. I mean, if you wanted to call it something sports related, you could. I just feel like for brand recognition, then you have a lot less work to do.
Right.
And I can't really think of someone who isn't exactly technically sound on all the individual things, but ultimately, if you're just creating another package off of an already existing user interface or UI, it can't be that complicated.
Yeah.
Seems pretty simple to me at that point, because creating something from scratch, and again, we're noting this just because the projection from the original press release said it would be coming in Q4 of this year.
Yeah.
And we're in February now, Rick.
Right.
October, November is not that far away at this point.
Well, you know, and
to do everything from scratch, Rick, you can guess, that's kind of, you know.
They're not giving themselves a lot of time. That's for doggone sure.
So I have a feeling there's a plan in place for this Hulu UI that they can put together. And it would be really also easy because, in a way, it's a win for Disney because I know Iger had mentioned in the past, too, that he didn't exactly want to break up Hulu or just go put it all on Disney Plus just because of, you know, parental controls and all these other things. But it would be a way to keep Hulu alive and keep that UI separate.
It would.
From Disney Plus. And you would still be away, too. It's like, you can still, like, we now exist in a time where Disney Plus now has the Hulu tab. So you can watch Hulu stuff on Disney Plus. That's not going to go away. That will still be there if you ever do need it at the end of the day. But it's just an incredibly intriguing scenario because we've never seen it before. And I think that's why all of us were incredibly puzzled when it came out. I think we all thought there would be a scenario where two of these behemoths would combine together, but we never thought that three of them would do it at the same time.
Right. And not, as we keep saying, not a full-blown merger, but just this oddly defined partnership between them to where they're not shareholders in each other's companies, but they're stakeholders in the same entity, which is, again, as I said before, like being half pregnant. And it's one of these things, too, where if it is going to be Hulu with this here, one of the news reports we saw, I think it was from The Desk, which did a very good job of reporting all this out, was saying that Disney already owns the HuluSports.com domain, which the one thing that tells me, Ben, is I need to go buy up the domain for HuluSports.com with two U's.
Well, Hulu always has live sports, so I mean, it's kind of hand in hand, Rick. It's not really that complicated.
Yes, yes, because as you said,
Hulu has always had live sports, so it fits really well in this scenario.
It does, because
so it just feels like, it almost like the analogies. It's almost too obvious.
Sure, like there's
not to be the case, and it will, you know. And I do think that the big thing in this situation is price and ease of use.
Yeah.
And if it's very easy to do, I think a lot of people, including myself, could get rid of YouTube TV for this.
Yeah.
Because if I'm just a fan who cares more about the NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball, why would I pay $20, $25 extra a month on streaming TV at that point?
Well, yes. And, you know, That's a very, very good point. And as somebody who has the bundle, yes, I can watch ESPN Plus stuff from the Hulu app. And like you said, Hulu Plus Live TV, you can watch sports on that as well from many different entities here. So, again, it will be very much worth keeping an eye on. And this is a thing where I know we will reconvene when there are more details on this, a name given, a date set for the launch, more details on the interface. But you flagged this for my consideration recently and said we should get out in front of this and get a segment on it. And as always, you were right. And great to be able to deliver a great level of analysis to the people. Thank you so much, Ben Chu.
Oh, I appreciate it as always, Rick. If I've learned anything in this data that came out recently, polyamory is on the rise, my friend, so why not with our sports bundling packages as well?
It's the sports business equivalent of it. Wow. Talk about ending the segment on a high note. Thank you so much, Ben Chu, and thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1714.